everybody. It's episode 267 of PodQuest.
Hey.
All right.
It's Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. I am Chris. With me is Richie.
Yes.
And Druten.
Oh, that was weird.
I just called you Richie, didn't I?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's been a long day.
It's kind of uncomfortable.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I'm missing wrestling for this.
Wait, it's not on Tuesdays anymore? It's on Wednesdays now? Or is this like...
There is wrestling 6 days a week.
Well, up to 6 days a week. Like, next week, there'll be wrestling, I believe, 6 days. Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
It's too much wrestling.
Saturday.
That is way too much wrestling.
They should just, like do, like, Super Bowl Sunday, but just...
That's WrestleMania.
Super Wrestle Sunday, and just have wrestling all day on Sunday instead of...
That's WrestleMania.
I know.
I don't even watch this shit, and I know...
I know that's WrestleMania. I'm just saying...
WrestleMania is on longer than the Super Bowl.
It is.
I know.
But All Elite Wrestling starts their weekly TV show this week, and WWE's NXT goes to 2 full hours on USA this week, starting today. So
that's a lot.
Between WWE and All Elite Wrestling, there are 4 weekly shows on cable TV now. Well, cable and over-the-air TV, because SmackDown moves to Fox starting Friday night.
Yeah.
That's too much wrestling. We're going to cancel it all and go
just
back.
Just watch AEW. You know, no, just watch the Japan Premier League or whatever.
New Japan?
Isn't that soccer?
Yeah. No. I don't know.
New Japan is real good. Although they lost a lot of their best to AEW.
Well, then you watch AEW.
Yeah. That's going to be the one I watch.
That's...
And then...
On Thursdays, because we record on Wednesdays.
Yeah, mostly.
So, did you guys hear the good news?
The mostly good news.
Spider-Man is back in the MCU.
Okay, that one. Yay. Yeah.
That didn't last long.
No.
I mean, it was, a month? But it's also, it's as far as I can tell, it's a temporary deal.
So, it's only temporary in the fact that they once again wrote in an ending to it.
Yeah.
Because the original one, I think, was only 3 movies or 4 movies anyway.
It was two solo films and team-up films.
Yeah, so
what they had.
This one is less, what is it, 1 solo and 1 team-up?
I think, actually, the original was just 5 films. Was the original deal. It was 5 films in total. And, yeah, this new one is 1 solo, 1 team-up.
Which, I mean, that's one of those things where if they make a whole bunch of money on this one, they'll probably have some sort of disagreement again, and then a month and a half later, we'll find another way if they want to continue with the same thread. I did see something that Kevin Feige is looking at exit plans for Spider-Man to basically, like... If they can't come to an agreement when this round is done, that they would look to basically gracefully remove him from the MCU so that they don't leave it in such a way where all sides are like, yeah, things are fine. We don't need him. And then, you know, they end it with like, he is the focal point of the MCU now.
Yeah.
Before I got here, I had this whole long anecdote about how it was basically one more day, but I realized you guys wouldn't get that, so I just gave up on that whole idea.
Nope. Hey, you can do it. Like, you know, do it in post and edit later.
No, that's work.
I know. We went over this like.
Yeah. That's work I don't want to do.
I know.
But yeah, so there's going to be another solo movie coming up, so that'll be 2021, which brings the grand total of movies to 4
first,
that year.
First time ever Marvel Disney has done 4 movies a year.
Has it really only capped out at 3?
Yes.
I feel like it's been 4 before, but I guess it's one of those where like things are just close enough at the like a November movie and then like a February movie that it just feels.
At least that's what I had seen online, was this is the first time ever. And so I'm not really too sure that how the lineup's going to go, but it's like 2021 will have Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange and Thor. So
yeah,
it's,
which I mean that's 4 movies. So,
yeah.
To
one new character, multiple returnings.
I mean, technically 2 new characters because we'll have Lady Thor.
But Jane, is returning to be that. So it's not a new character per se.
So they have also apparently revealed that it's going to be a 75-25 split for the revenue and costs to produce the film.
Yes, at least that's what I read. So Sony's paying and making 75%. Marvel Disney is paying and making 25%. Marvel Disney also owns all the rights to merchandising again.
Yeah.
So the next 2 films Spider-Man is in, he'll have 6 different costumes just like before, so that they can sell more shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why the fuck not?
Exactly. I mean, that's what Spider-Man has a billion costumes, just like Iron Man. So...
Yeah. Yes and no.
I know it's like all his different costumes, like in that Spider-Man game, or from different eras of Spider-Man.
Yeah, so it's not just that. So in Spider-Man has actually had a lot of costumes over the years, but like young Peter Parker just had the one costume. Like, yeah. It was just the red and blue costume, which then in the 80s became the black costume. I think it was really the 90s where things got out of hand, where there was like armor variants and Captain Universe variants and Scarlet Spider and clones and
yeah.
all that shit. And then in the 2000s is where it got like out of hand, because you had the movie versions of stuff. You had the Iron Spider from the comics. There was a brief period in the early 2010s where he basically made a new suit every issue.
Yeah.
Because he was working at a lab at the time and had access to stuff. So it was like okay. every issue he had a new suit depending on what he was doing.
Yeah.
So like if he had to go like fight a dude stealth, he had a stealth suit. If he needed something kind of padded for like explosives, he had like a padded suit.
Yeah.
Weird stuff like that. But yeah, I'm sure the movie he'll have at least 12 different suits.
Well, it'll have like his suit that he finished the last movie in. It'll have reference to the Iron Spider suit. And then it'll have a new suit that he creates throughout the movie, probably. So there's three at least right there, and then
or maybe... they might start it with a new suit, like they've done in some other stuff, where yeah. like it's a big deal, like you see the new suit for the movie.
Yeah,
and then at some point he might get the old suit.
Yeah, or there might be a flashback of him wearing his original costume, where it was just the hoodie and stuff, like you know.
Yeah,
and they'll make new toys for costumes that they already had.
Yeah, exactly. So you have a thing in here too, excuse me, about James Gunn being sent a gift from Marvel for his first day of shooting Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if it was for his first day of shooting Suicide Squad or if it was just like Marvel sent him a gift, but it was basically a scrapbook of they were saying, or at least James Gunn said it's like their road so far, or the story so far, and it was behind the scenes photos and stuff of him on the scene, like while doing Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 filming. So he posted it on Twitter and he was like, this brought a tear to my eye. And I kind of feel like this is one of those like, hey, don't forget us and remember you still have us and don't make this your best movie ever type of thing.
I mean, though, maybe a little
like,
bit.
Maybe more of like, we're sorry we fired you for no reason. Please remember to come back to us.
But you know what? They brought him back.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did.
So we're going to get a Guardians 3 from him.
Production will probably start in probably 2 years.
Well, I think it's actually supposed to start next year. It's supposed to start right after Suicide Squad wraps up.
When I say production, I mean like filming. Filming is probably going to start in about two
No, years. I think it'll probably start late next year.
Is the story written and everything? Is all that production done?
I think he already had the script written prior to being fired.
True. Yeah, true.
So, like, I'm pretty sure, and, like, he's the type of guy that probably, like, rocks out a script in, like, a month or two.
Yeah.
And then, like, they have it ready to go within, like, 3 months after that. So, Suicide Squad will probably film for, like, 2 or 3 months, like, up, like, primary production. And then sometime spring next year, they'll do their reshoot. And I think that movie comes out summer next year.
And then press tour, which you'll have to be part of. So, I think I even read, like, they're going to wait until after the press tour to start production.
Yeah, which I would put it this time next year is when production starts, with a release probably next, like the summer after. So like we will probably see the movie summer 2022.
So I mean they're in no rush to make this movie unless they decide to release 5 films in 2021. Like, but that would be ridiculous.
I mean, just a little.
Only a little.
Yeah, so this one is supposed to come out in this one comes out August 2021. So it's filming now, which means they're going to sit on it for a year.
DC has always sat on their movie. Like, yeah. They have such a slow return, like a slow turnaround for their films.
Well, you know what? I think Wonder Woman is next year. So they probably don't want to release 2 movies back to back like that. Because they're not Marvel.
Birds of Prey.
Is Birds of Prey next year?
I mean, the trailer just launched. And it does not look good to me.
I mean, the trailer doesn't look good, but I feel like the movie could be alright.
I don't know. Margot Robbie was a fine Harley in the original Suicide Squad, but I don't really know if I can handle her being the absolute main focal point. Like, she had a decent role in the original Suicide Squad, but Birds of Prey, she is absolutely, like, she's probably going to be on screen 90% of the time with 85% of the lines.
I feel like that's the way that they're playing up in the trailer because she was the most popular character coming out of Suicide Squad, but...
She was a fine Harley. I don't think I'm going to like her for that long.
I mean, that's possible, but, like, I hope the movie is decent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's also a DC movie, so they're super hit or miss anyway.
Yeah.
We just don't know. But, so, unrelated to all of that nonsense, I started finally watching Jessica Jones Season 3.
Yeah.
It's good. Like,
that's what I hear.
I mean, I didn't really enjoy Season 2 too much.
I really didn't like Season 1 or 2.
Well, that's because you're broken.
No.
Season 1 was great.
I'm not a big noir type fan. Like, when we saw that movie Atomic Blonde in the theaters, I wasn't
really... that movie was bad.
I heard people liked it, because well, it's like those noir type spy movies, and I thought it looked cool. I thought it was more an action movie, but I wasn't too into it, and it was kind of similar with Jessica Jones. Season 2 more specifically than Season 1, but Season 1 I was just like, I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, I mean, I binged Season 1 in like a day and a half, whereas Season 2, I think I watched the first like 7 episodes and then didn't watch for 6 months, yeah, so I just didn't care about it.
The only thing I liked about Season 1 was Kilgrave.
I mean, Kilgrave was a good part of it, but I thought that whole first season was good. So far, this season has been super interesting because the villain is just a normal dude who happens to be a serial killer.
Okay.
But he's also incredibly intelligent. Like, he's got multiple, like, master's degrees and PhDs and different stuff. So, like, he is, like, he's unrealistically smart, but not in that, like, over-the-top comic book way.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just an evil, disgusting person, too, that murders people.
Okay.
But he's always one step ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, he kind of, like, got really started, like, maybe 3 episodes in or so. And, like, a lot of the seasons, I'm on episode 10. Like, I've watched 1 through 9 so far. And up through episode 9, it's been a lot of them almost proving he's a serial killer, but not quite getting there.
Okay.
And there's a lot of drama going on with everybody. Like, it's not just, like, Jessica being a shitty person. Like, you have, Trish has, do you remember the end of season 2 that, like, Trish has powers now?
Does she?
Yeah, so, at the end of the season, she, like, bumps into somebody, like, leaving Jessica's apartment, and drops her phone and, like, catches it on her foot.
Oh, right, yeah. She's, like, super, like, agile or whatever.
Yeah, because she's Hellcat.
Yeah.
One of the episodes near the end of the season, I don't think I've gotten to it yet, is actually called AKA Hellcat.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's cool. Yeah. But it's not just, like, kind of them having their issues because she killed Jessica's mom last season. It's, like, Malcolm having his own issues and sort of existential crisis because he works for Hogarth in this as her, like, investigator and fixer.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not real happy with what he's doing.
Yeah.
And Hogarth, kind of shitty this season.
Yeah.
Like, more so than she was before, but it's because of the whole, like, health thing she has going on.
She's got ALS, I believe.
Yeah, and, like, she's always been that character where, like, she will bend the rules to favor herself, but has generally been on the side of, like, what should be done.
Yeah.
This season, not as much. She's more concerned with, like, herself and leaving, like, a valuable legacy for herself. The only bummer I've seen so far is really that there hasn't been any real ties to any of the other stuff. I would have liked it if there was just a little bit of, like... like, realistic nods to the rest of that Netflix universe since it's gone.
Yeah.
And this, like, is the final outing for it.
Like, and they haven't, like, said anything about Luke?
Not about Luke or Matt. The only thing that happened was there's one kind of throwaway scene. Not throwaway scene, but there's one sort of minor scene where one of the ex-partners from Hogarth's old firm comes to basically, like, hand over paperwork that they are taking over Rand Industries, like Danny's company.
Okay.
And she says something like, Danny wouldn't allow this. And he just responds, it's like, Danny's been on some sort of sabbatical for the last few months.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most you get about that.
Because at the end of Iron Fist, he was in, like, China looking for somebody, and he gained the powers to use his chi through guns somehow.
Right. I forgot that's what was happening.
And then at the end of Luke Cage, which I thought was amazing, he was... the new kingpin, or the new, like, crime lord of Harlem.
Yeah, but, like, not a criminal, just, like, running the criminals.
Yeah, and then Daredevil... How did Daredevil...
He became Daredevil again, and they were opening up a new law firm.
Yeah, they all made up. They were opening up a new law firm, and yeah.
Yeah, like, all three of those shows kind of ended on, like, points where it's like, man, I can't wait to see what happens next. And they all fucking ended.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I know you're you said that you still haven't watched Punisher yet, but...
I haven't. And I saw, like, the first episode or two of the new season, and I was interested, but I just never got
Punisher actually watching. Ramps up really quick, too.
Yeah.
Like, the first two episodes are a little kind of, like, setup-y, and then it kind of, like, just escalates from there.
Yeah.
But, stop watching Friends and start watching this stuff.
I haven't watched Friends in, like, 6 months.
What are you watching now, then?
How I Met Your Mother.
Stop watching that. Watch the things you haven't seen.
I haven't watched How I Met Your Mother in, like, 4 years.
I'm just saying, you've watched it before. You've never seen these things.
I have to be in a mood to actually want to watch something to have to pay attention, like, and binge it. Whereas How I Met Your Mother and other sitcoms I don't have to, like, pay attention to. It's just background noise while I'm, like kind of vegging out.
This fucking guy, right?
Right.
Did
you ever watch Stranger Things? Wrestling. No, I haven't.
What else? You're a fucking failure, too. Both guy, of right? you guys. Jesus.
Look, at least I watched Stranger Things. And I'm not the one who had to make a bet to watch Stranger Things and still hasn't watched Stranger Things.
He has a valid point. You're just like, fuck it, I don't care.
Sarah also wants to watch it.
I got 7 days of wrestling, fuckers.
Yeah.
7 days of wrestling.
And three of them also have football.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which apparently they're going to get rid of Thursday Night Football, or they're thinking about it? Or?
No, they aren't.
Okay. I thought.
Why would they get rid of a night of guaranteed sponsorship deals?
Exactly.
Like, true.
The players hate it. The league's not going to get rid of it.
Because, I mean, it's shitty for the players because most, like, the teams are Sunday and then 4 days later are playing again, right?
Yeah.
I think there was actually one time there might have been, like, a Monday night and Thursday night game. Some team had a Monday night and a Thursday night game.
Maybe really early on, but I think for a long while they have made it so any of the teams playing on Monday will not ever play on Thursday.
Yeah. So what... So I'm actually just curious about this. So Thursday night, is that technically the first game of the new week?
Yes.
Okay. And then Monday is the last game of the previous week. So it's Thursday, Sunday, Monday?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's... I mean, at least, like, the teams are usually off that following Sunday, too, right?
No.
Well...
Because that's technically the first game of the week, so they're not playing.
Yeah, like you would not play
Thursday,
and then that seventh day Sunday or eighth day Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like if you play Thursday,
that's
the earliest
for your week, so your next week
is. The earliest you could play the next game would be the following Thursday, but I don't think they ever schedule a team to play two Thursdays in a row.
No.
Does maybe Thanksgiving someone has played?
Isn't it always Detroit and somebody?
Detroit and Dallas always play at home on Thanksgiving Day. They've added a third game that's been around for a while, a night game that is any two teams, really.
Yeah.
I think last year Dallas played on Thanksgiving and then the following Thursday as well.
Is there any teams that get a bye week the first week?
No.
No. Bye weeks don't start until, what is this?
They started last week. Well, last week was week four. The Jets and 49ers were on the bye last week.
I didn't realize two teams had... I guess that makes sense because...
It's always an even number of teams.
Yeah, that would make sense because you'd have to have a team that was on a bye week the first week if you had an odd number of teams. Because there wouldn't be enough teams to play each other.
There's been some weeks where it's like 6 to 8 teams who had bye weeks before.
Usually towards the weeks 10 or 11, you might wind up with like 6 or 8 teams on the bye. Makes fantasy that week really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Seems it.
Which, I mean, fantasy this year is just hard in general.
Yeah. My teams have been middling at best.
So, quick divergence. I have Kenyon Drake.
Uh-huh.
Julian Edelman. And Odell Beckham Jr.
OBJ's been bad.
OBJ hasn't been that bad. He's been average. He's been like 14 to 20 points per game. He let 2 weeks ago, he got 25 points.
Okay. Last week, he had 2 catches.
Well, yeah. Last week, this past week that happened, he was bad, which is my point. Kenyon Drake of the Miami fucking Dolphins outscored Julian Edelman and OBJ combined. Fuck fantasy sometimes.
And that's surprising because the Dolphins are just trying to lose every game.
Exactly. That's why I'm like... How did this guy outscore these two teams that actually have good players?
Because they're not good?
They're good.
Are they, though?
Yeah. OBJ is one of the better wide receivers in the sport.
Yeah.
I've heard that name before.
He had that crazy one-handed catch. Like his rookie year, I think.
That's probably why I remember his name.
And then he was on the cover of Madden the following year.
He was on the Giants until this year when he got traded?
Yep.
He got traded to the Browns of all teams.
At least it wasn't Detroit or the Eagles. They're not doing so well either.
I mean,
what are they, 2-2 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's not the worst, but.
They somehow beat Green Bay, but they lost friggin' the Lions.
I was going to say, they lost to Detroit, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know. The Lions looked pretty good, honestly.
The only reason they lost to the Lions because they dropped 7 catches.
Yeah.
Aren't they on, like, third string defensive players at this point?
Oh, yeah. They've had a ton of injuries on the D.
I remember my dad saying, don't they have like 8 or 9 people out right now or close to it?
Well, I don't know. But I know, like, also in their 2 losses, like, they had people get injured. And, like, the game against Atlanta that they lost, they had like 10 people leave that game with injury at least some time.
I saw, like, somebody post, like a video of a play that was definitely a penalty that wasn't called where, like the opposing team, the guy had a hold of the other guy's face mask and spun the mask all the way around and then ripped it off.
Lions game.
Yeah.
Yep.
And nothing got called for.
Nope.
That's the pain of being an Eagles fan. Penalties don't get called against the other team when you're an Eagles fan.
The Cowboys finally, you know, showed that they're not actually good this week, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sean Layden, the head of Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios, is no longer in that position. He has left Sony.
Yeah.
Possibly retired. Possibly going to Stadia. Who knows?
Who knows?
That's just an absolute guess.
Which is crazy. He's been part of Sony since 87.
Yep.
Wow.
And is that 30 years?
30.
How 90, old are you?
2.
I'm 31. So yeah, 32 years. Yeah. So I'm a year younger than he's been at Sony.
So the weird thing about this, they tweeted it out on Monday night, I believe it was.
Something like that.
And like the beginning of the tweet was almost sounded like something bad had happened to him. Cause it's like, it's with great emotion we announced that.
Yeah.
That's not how you start a tweet.
No.
But like Sony is known for press releases. Like they fucking release press releases for everything.
Yeah.
They didn't for this apparently. Like there's some like random like note that like went out to like the Japanese press about it. But, like, something, like, it was very minor, but they just tweeted about it. And, like, there's been no response or anything from Layden yet either. So it kind of makes you wonder if he left for a reason. It seems like it was at least amicable because he, like, they said nice things about him in the tweet.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if it was something negative, they probably would have just said Sean Layden's no longer with the company and if anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it makes you wonder, like, did he just decide to retire or, like, is he going to someplace else?
Yeah, interesting. The weird thing also, Sony Interactive Entertainment Japan Asia president, Atsushi Moriyoda, also retired. Retired September 30th.
So
both of their interactive presidents left.
So, I don't know a ton about this, but on the Bombcast they were talking that apparently after, I guess, the current SEI or SIE like head came in, like there was a bunch of restructuring like when he got the role, and maybe those like regional presidents didn't really matter, but Sean Layden wasn't. So Sean Layden used to be like president of Sony Entertainment America, like the American branch. His last role was the head of all first party studios.
Yeah.
So like Sony Santa Monica, Japan, Bend, Naughty Dog, Insomniac, like all those first party studios. They don't have anybody technically in that role now. And they also don't have anybody that has any sort of like media presence, I guess, at that point. Like the closest thing would probably be like Shuhei Yoshida, who is I think president of Sony Interactive Entertainment worldwide. Like not the studios, the company.
Yeah.
But even he is not quite in, like, the spotlight like he used to be. Cause that guy used to be all over the place. Like,
yeah.
He'd tweet about the games he was playing. He'd tweet, like, at people, like, answering questions about how games, like, how to do stuff in games. Like, he was really out there for a while. But yeah, it just makes you wonder, like, what other restructuring are they doing?
And
can they bring back Jack Trenton?
Maybe.
Like, why not? Like, they need a face. It's either got to be Jack Trenton or Kevin Butler. Like, those are the choices.
They should just hire Reggie Fils-Aimé.
I mean, he's retired. He's doing his own thing.
But they could still hire him.
No, he's out there talk. And honestly, man, he's a Nintendo man through and through.
I know. He would never do anything else besides Nintendo.
Oh no, he could go back to Pizza Hut.
Yeah, that's true. Or E Entertainment Television.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was responsible for some of their like reality stuff in like the early 2000s before, if I remember correctly.
Oh man, I love Reggie.
Oh, he's the best.
Yes, I need to follow him on Twitter. I keep forgetting to do
that. He doesn't tweet a ton, but he tweeted something about his body being ready for something. I forget what it was. It was good though.
Yeah.
Like, good on Reggie for knowing his place in the internet and like embracing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like that's some definite shakeups for Sony.
It is.
With, you know, we're 12-ish months out from a new console generation most likely starting. So it makes you wonder, like, how are they going to be sort of rolling with that stuff? Like, how are they going to announce it? Because you figure most of the people that were prominent in the, like, PS3 to PS4 kind of crossover aren't with Sony anymore. Like, Jack Trenton's gone, now Sean Layden, Andrew House left, what was that, last year?
Yeah.
Sounds right.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we will see how things go and kind of who gets what roles. Because, I mean, there is certainly going to be somebody in charge of their first-party studios because that is obviously where Sony makes their bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason those games are as acclaimed as they are.
Yeah.
Where are we? Where are we? You watched the complete history of Destiny? The fuck?
Yeah, so if
Wait. For 4 hours, you watched a video on the complete history of Destiny.
Yes.
Jesus.
The Destiny...
But you couldn't watch goddamn Punisher?
I was at work. It was more of a podcast than an actual, like... I mean, it was just, like, art and, like maybe recut, like, trailers and stuff. But it was more a podcast of him explaining the complete history from beginning of time till the end of the most recent stuff.
Let's roll back for a second, though. I thought you watched porn at work.
No. I don't watch porn at work.
I mean, I could have sworn we had that conversation before.
No. I watch Critical Role at work. But, no, yeah, so if you guys remember last year, you probably don't because you ignore me a lot. There's a YouTuber named, My Name is Bife.
What was that? I'm sorry?
Exactly. there's a YouTuber named My Name is Bife. And he, I got caught into, like, pretty much a YouTube hole of all the lore and, like, information of Destiny that he could find and other people could find and put together, and it was about like the creation of different creatures, possible theories of what certain things are, and just like how the Hive became the Hive, shit like that.
So like and, all the stuff that you would have had to like pour over like the grimoire stuff in the first game to find out.
Exactly. So like
the stuff everyone wanted,
and that stuff is absolutely fascinating. It is so, so interesting, and I even said last week, like, I love looking into the lore of this, of these things. Like, I think I shared a video with you a couple weeks ago, it was about 40 minutes long, and it was the complete history of Naruto from, to what we know. And it starts off at the very beginning with the goddess coming down to the planet all the way through to, I believe, the end of Naruto, and it's like,
60 like, years or something like that?
Well, the beginning was like thousands of years, and then the last 60 years was a good chunk of the video, because that was like, or I think it was like 80 years, was the actual history of Naruto and Madara and all them. Like, I love watching that stuff, and I love learning about these things. I've even gone and talked about it, I believe, with like Legend of Zelda videos and like theories and stuff for like Breath of the Wild and why we see things the way we do and stuff. So, I was working yesterday, and I go onto YouTube, and the first thing that pops up is, My Name is Bife, the complete history of Destiny, about 3 hours and 55 minutes long. I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, you know what? Sure.
Sure, why not?
I'm here at work, and I'm going to be listening to it while I'm doing work. Might as well try it. So I click it, and I listen, and it... Like I said, it goes from the beginning of time, or as far as early as possible, based on the lore of the game, all the way to the end of the most recent expansion, which they're gonna have. They have a new one coming out really soon. I don't know when, but I know it's really soon.
Shadowkeep came out today.
Okay,
no,
so it was,
came out yesterday. I'm sorry, I forgot it was Wednesday.
Yeah, so it led up to right before Shadowkeep, because Shadowkeep hadn't come out yet.
They had all sorts of server issues, as a game will, and people are online like, I don't get why this always happens. Why can't they just build these servers to handle the extra 400 million people that are going to be on day one? No, it's like, money?
People are idiots. But one of the crazy things about it is, if you go, you guys probably won't listen to the, watch these videos or listen to these videos, no matter how interesting I try to make it.
No, probably not.
If you were to go listen, it takes him about 2 hours before he gets to the first game.
That's insane.
That's how much lore they built into this.
But they didn't really build it into the game proper.
Well, it's a shame they didn't ever fucking surface that to the players in a useful way.
It was stupid. It was in the grimoire cards. And, like, some of the lore that, like, he talks about is stuff that you do learn from playing Destiny 2, like Osiris and things about Osiris and other characters. Like, stuff from them happened earlier on that you learn in Destiny 2. But, like, they didn't build a lot of this stuff into the game, and you just had to find out through the grimoire cards.
I have heard that before.
But it's, like it talks about how the Awoken became the Awoken. And, like, I was just, like... My mind was blown. I was like, 4 fucking hours. And this is absolutely fascinating. Because the worlds that they built in that game, or like the at least the lore that they put pieced together kind of in that game, was like crazy. One thing I didn't know, like the Galahorn, the best weapon in vanilla Destiny, that was made having forged together all the armor of fallen guardians during one of the final stands to protect the city.
Huh.
Before you can, so they, and that's why, like, their light seeped into their armor, and then they forged that together, and that's why it's so strong, is because it's the light of former Guardian firing this cannon and being so epic.
That's cool.
Yeah. And, like, he went and talked about, like, why there's no, like, if you played Destiny 2 at least, or, like, maybe even a little bit of Destiny 1, you might have walked by giant skeletons of dragons. He talked about the history of the dragons and why we don't see any of them. Because they were all hunted down, because they had a specific kind of magic. And then apparently in the last, not apparently, but in the last expansion, there was the final, you fought the final dragon, the last living dragon. Which I can't remember the actual names of. Like I said, I love this lore shit. And, like.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff does sound cool. And I remember, I think I briefly talked about it on here, but the book Blood, Sweat, and Pixels goes into, like, all of the Destiny stuff and how they had a bunch of plans that kind of got scrapped when they had to rework a lot of the game.
Yeah, which, and it seems like, at least with Destiny 2, because they did throw some lore into that, it seems like they're trying to piece that in as they come out with more releases. And maybe Destiny 3 might have some more. Maybe Shadowkeep or whatever it is will have some more. Who knows? But, like, it even talks about how Oryx, who was the Taken King, became Oryx. And how he was, he went through two different names before he was Oryx.
Oh, wow.
And, like, he was he was a hive that ascended to become the Taken King. And, like, it's just so cool. And if you're interested in lore, and, like, you played Destiny and you were kind of interested in the Destiny lore, give this a listen. One of the cool things they do is, in the description of the video, he gives you timestamps. So, you can, like, watch for 20 minutes, get through that section, walk away, come back, remember your timestamp of where you were, go back to that. They broke it down in a chapter. Basically. But they have it in all one video instead of having to be multiple videos. Which, honestly, I like that over being multiple videos. Because if they were to have it multiple videos, it's more so like, oh, we want to monetize this more by making sure everyone watches these 16 videos. Rather than just watching this one, having everybody watch one video. It's kind of easier and less greedy. Just doing one full video. One long-ass video.
I can understand that.
Yeah. It was a neat thing to watch. I was like super, super pumped to actually kind of share what you got.
I'm all for super long form podcasts and stuff like that. And I wish there had been more of that lore surfaced to the player in Destiny. Because I fucking liked playing the game in Destiny. But after 70 hours of monotonous grinding in a very dead world.
And in vanilla Destiny, it wasn't, but at least by the, I mean, through expansions and through playing, like, through, like, multiple playthroughs of, like, levels and stuff, you could catch on to things that you didn't catch on to before. But by, like, once the Taken King came out, especially, they started feeding you some more lore. Even, like, the Crota expansion, they threw some more story information at you. And then Destiny 2, they really, like, threw a bunch of lore at you. And, like, a bunch of lore information. Like you can go check out, like, this guy's videos.
Yeah.
And he's got tons of Destiny lore videos and, like, informational videos about these different creatures and shit. And my name is Byf, B-Y-F. And it's so cool. But besides that, did you see all the stuff for Apex Season 3?
I actually played a little bit of it last night.
Oh, it's already out?
Yes, it started last night.
Okay.
I played the new character, Crypto. He is interesting. It's weird because, like, he's the only character where using his ability forces you to completely stop moving.
Yeah.
So, his ability, he throws out a drone that can scan the battlefield for you and tag enemy open door and shit like that. Which is nice, like, because you can do it at a way larger range than, say, than Bloodhound can.
Yeah.
Because it's very similar, highlighting enemies behind walls or whatever, like Bloodhound's ability, but you can do it at a long range. But you have to stop, and your character is just left vulnerable, so it's not something you can pop in the middle of a fight like Bloodhound's.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, is good to have him be different. I've found his ultimate to be completely useless.
What's his ultimate?
So you send out your drone, and your drone can pop an EMP, which does 50 damage to shields, which will knock 2 bars of shields down.
Okay.
So it'll completely take out a white shield, 2/3 of a blue, and half of a purple or gold shield.
Yeah.
And also, like, stuns them a little, or slows them down a little bit. It does affect you and your teammates as well, though. So if you're in it, you take that damage and debuff as well. They changed out some of the hop-ups for the guns. They got rid of the Skull Piercer and the Disruptor Rounds, which Disruptor Rounds they had just put into the game, and added a double tap trigger that is usable on the EVA 8 auto shotgun and the G7 Scout sniper rifle.
Not the Mozambique?
No, not the Mozambique has its own hop-up.
Yeah.
It got the hammer point round, the, like, last big update, I guess.
Yeah.
The double tap kind of sucks on the EVA 8 because it turns that from being an auto shotgun to semi-auto. So, like, you have to pull the trigger each time you wanted to shoot the 2 rounds.
Okay.
Which, when I had just gotten used to remembering that, oh, hey, I can just hold the trigger down on this gun, and then to hold it down, and 2 shots go, and then nothing else happens. Like, god damn it.
Yeah. So, it goes boom, boom, real quick.
Yeah.
And but you have to, because I would rather just boom, 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 have that, like, the auto hold.
Which, for that gun, yes. Now, on the G7 Scout, which is a single shot.
Yeah.
Light sniper rifle. I never use it to, like, snipe. I more use it as a short range semi-auto gun.
Yeah.
Or, like, medium range. The double tap on that is real nice because it's pull the trigger, pop, 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 pop. And that's a gun that you're used to having to pull the trigger every single time anyway.
Yeah.
So I've really liked using that combo now.
Yeah.
And they added a hop up for the R301 and Flatline, which I don't remember what it does. I don't think I've gotten it because it's a gold thing.
They also added a new weapon?
It was a new weapon, charge rifle. It's interesting. I've only gotten it once.
I watched the trailer. Is that, like, the thing that, like, he was charging? Like, it was the
same. Yeah, it, like, beam? Shoots a beam, and then I think you hit the button again, and it then, like, shoots. Like, it'll do a little bit of damage when it first hits them, and then you put it again, and it shoots the beam completely. I guess discharges the beam is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And does a bunch more damage to the target if you hit them.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I got a couple knockdowns with it.
Nice. But,
not enough to, like, really know how effective it is.
Yeah.
The map is cool. I'm so lost on it, though. Like,
yeah. I mean, is it now, like, playing two maps, or is it, like...
So, right now, they just have the new map.
Okay.
Just so people can get used to it. I was reading through the patch notes, and they say after a few weeks, they'll probably bring back King's Canyon and either just kind of randomly sort you into one, or they're not exactly sure what they're going to do, but they do plan on bringing back the original map.
Okay.
There's a moving train on this map instead of a drop ship, or like a supply ship, I should say. That train can hit you and kill you.
Oh, jeez.
If you happen to be, like, in a fight on the tracks, and not paying attention.
So don't hang out on the tracks.
Yeah, probably not.
Do you ever get your, like, foot stuck between the...
No, because it's like maglev kind of thing.
Okay.
It doesn't have classic
Can you, like,
tracks.
Prone underneath it as it...
You can't goes. Prone in that game.
You should be able to prone in that
right? game. Right? That's the one thing, maybe, about that game. You can crouch, but you can't prone.
Yeah.
At least I don't think you can. I've really never tried.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody else doing it, so I can't imagine you can. You can slide, though. You move. I mean, especially if you're going downhill, the slide is really helpful.
If you're, like, running, you slide, yeah.
That game's still good.
It is. I haven't played it in a while.
That game's fucking cool.
I was watching you play last week, and I was just like, man, this game is fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
It is a good game.
Yeah.
It controls
well.
I don't
disagree.
Like, the guns are basically all good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I have no real complaints about that game.
Yeah.
Except that maybe this new character kind of, like, that's, like, you don't have to ever play that character, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind trying him out because he seemed kind of cool, but I'm guessing you may have to pay for him, or do you just get him for free?
You do have to pay for him. I fucking have so much of the in-game currency at this point. Like, I had more than enough to buy the new Battle Pass day one.
Yeah.
I had more than enough of that currency to buy the Battle Pass. I had more than enough of the other currency to buy the character. I think I still have enough to buy two or three more characters if they were to put three more characters out right now.
Yeah.
I don't have much of the crafting material thing to make, like, skins or whatever.
Yeah.
But
no one really,
whatever.
You don't really care for that.
No, not really. I got the, like, I got the Plague Doctor skin for Blood Raven. That's all I fucking cared.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, whatever. And I'm like, cool. That's the one kind of cool skin I actually care. The rest are like, eh, whatever. If I had it, it would be nice, but...
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should work a little harder and get it.
You can only get that through fucking random drops and chests.
So you just gotta play a whole lot.
I mean, I guess I could put in real money and buy the chests if I wanted.
That sounds like the answer.
Just quit your job.
Fuck.
Quit your job.
Okay.
And just play that nonstop.
Okay.
I think you could probably make a GoFundMe to be like, hey, I quit my job to just play Apex Legends. Please pay me. And then always stream yourself playing Apex Legends. Don't put yourself on a delay either. So this way, if people are watching you, they can come after you. And it's like, it's your thing now. Like, oh no, if they see me, they can come after me. But I'm that good, or that cocky at least, that I can get them, type of thing. And, you know, and then there you go. You'll eventually get your thing.
No, I'm alright. I'm good.
Oh. Or have a Patreon where it's, your tiers are for however many chests that you have to buy in that game. I mean, I'm sure you could figure it out.
That also seems reasonable.
It all seems very reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it that way.
While Caleb is, doing work, we'll skip ahead a little bit. Just to the very, very bottom. And, Drew, me and you played a decent amount of D&D this week.
We sure did.
We played two different campaigns this week.
And both went relatively long.
Yeah, relatively. In hours that we played on Friday, you guys took a little bit longer doing, like, certain things than I had expected. So it was like, I wanted to get to a good stopping point, and I didn't want to just, like, all right, you did the fight, now let's stop and go home. I wanted to, like, push it forward a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you can tell, I'm kind of trying to streamline a little bit more the mundane of the game, like the walking and stuff. Like, you're gonna be walking, but like it's kind of lame to just be walking and then like, yeah. Oh, is anything? So it's like, all right, I'm not gonna roll for all days. I might just roll for like, just roll once, and something may happen during your travel. Or like, if you're like in a cave, I'll do shift watches. But if you're like on a road, it's just gonna be one night or something like that. Like, cause I want to get to the meat and potatoes of D&D and less of like the mundane stuff of just walking around. And I want to get people to be like more roleplay-y and interactive with each other. So that's why, like, when you are walking, be like, if there's anything you guys want to talk about, do it now. Otherwise, we're just going to move forward. But, like, I want to give you the option to be all roleplay and talk to each other. But, the cool thing is, we're kind of at the end of the, railroading. You guys okay. are now doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, you have some leads. It's up to you what you want to do now. Which is now going to make my job harder. Because I have to prepare a hell of a lot more than before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird with how, like, trying to really role play exactly the characters when there's kind of not, when you're kind of streamlining the in between without, like.
Well, it's going to more so be like, hey, you guys are going to travel for like 4 days.
Right.
What are you going to talk about over the next 4 days? Like, have a conversation. Like, nothing may really happen. You don't know, and I'll roll to see if something happens over those 5 days. But like, are you just walking for 5 days in silence?
Maybe.
What are you doing for 5 days? Like, and that's like you haven't had a lot of that yet because
right.
the whole top of the map is very like condensed, and it is 2 days pretty much travel between each city. But as you get out of that section, it is a lot longer travel.
Gotcha.
So I think. To get from where you are to the farm city is about a week and a half of walk.
Okay.
And then to get to, like, the mansion, basically, if you guys decide to do that, would be about a day and a half in the day and a half to 2 days in the cave, probably about another 2 days, so probably about 3 to 5 days to get to the mansion, and then another half a week to a week from there. To get to the farm city or the farm town. So it's like, you're now going to have the time to like,
okay.
What do you want to do now?
Like, yeah.
What are you talking about? What do you letting each other know? What's your goals? What's your quests? Like, I'm hoping people get a little bit more like open now that we've had 3 sessions plus the sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say to me about the sessions? Was it fun? Was it bad? Did you hate it?
Oh, no. I always have fun playing D&D.
Yeah. And you like that I finally followed the rules for Mimic and not just like I'm not going to follow that rule because I don't like it. And this time I followed the rule of it being sticky.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, that's a fun rule. I did not know that.
Yeah, it is. I kind of did it in our D&D session that we did for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave you the chance to try and pull it free, but there is no chance in the book of trying to pull it free. It is stuck in there until you kill it or until it releases. So that's what I did. There's a good number of leads in that campaign that you guys can follow. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out. I have to do some behind the scenes dice rolls for certain things now because we've got to see what happens with that box you guys found.
Oh, right.
And then we also played with Eric as DM.
That we did.
And that was
no one forgot this time.
Nope. No, it was only once that somebody forgot. Eric did. And that was a decent session, I think. We got some things done. We got out of the city.
Finally.
It took a session and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But we got out of the city and we played for like technically like 3 days and we didn't get done till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was like 2 in the morning.
I was falling asleep playing. I'm never that tired playing, but I was falling asleep playing. And then.
I'm sorry, how late was it again?
Like 2 a.m.
Okay, so that was like a legitimately late.
Yeah, yeah. Like with the session that like I run with your wife, we don't play that late because everyone's already been at work all day and.
Yeah, it's a Friday.
It's a Friday. Like, we play till like generally 10:30, 11, maybe even 12 o'clock. But like, I try not to run it much past like 11 because people start falling asleep by about 10. So, like, at 10 o'clock is when I'm like, all right, I need to find an endpoint, which limits me to, like, all right, our sessions are going to generally run about 3.5 to 4 hours tops. What can we do? Which is why I'm, like, streamlining, like, certain things, like travel.
Yeah.
I mean, travel's the fucking lamest part, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, like, it's why, like, unless we get into a situation that requires it, I don't worry about, like, rations and shit. It's like, unless you, like, lose everything and you're in the middle of a desert and you don't know how to get home, but at least in the world that I have built so far, there's no area that big that you're going to be lost for that long. Like, and you're a cleric. You can just prepare, create food and water, and you're never going to have to worry. I don't worry about that at all.
Also, the rangers could prepare Goodberry.
They can't. They could have Goodberry. They don't prepare a spell, but they could have Goodberry.
I'm pretty sure rangers prepare a spell.
No.
Are you sure?
They have set spell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's right. I think the only ones that have the locked-in spell lists are Sorcerer, Warlock, and Bard.
I will check.
Could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing spells known list for range.
Might take a little bit to load, but I will check as soon as I can.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure damn. They have like a, they don't have a prepared spell list. They have a spells known list. Let's see, that's Paladin, so I have to go this way for Ranger. That's still Paladin. It's like load slow. Here we go. Ranger, spells known.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they don't learn spellcasting till level 2. And so, it kind of makes sense that they have spells known and not spells prepared.
I mean,
they also don't get cantrips, which kind of sucks. Like, they're supposed to be shooting arrows.
Yeah.
And not casting constants. But yeah, the one with Eric, I thought it was like, I'm hesitant to know what happens after we complete this initial quest we're on for this object. The wooden mask. I feel like this woman's just gonna leave us. The way Eric was roleplaying her, at least.
Oh.
In Eric's session.
Sorry. Yeah.
The way Eric was roleplaying her, I get a feeling she's going to leave us as soon as we get the item she wants.
We're fine.
I mean, worst case scenario, we teleport back.
Yeah, I was going to say, we literally never have to make our way back to the city.
Yeah.
Like, we need someone to, theoretically, we need someone to guide us to wherever we're going. But once we've gotten there, we can just use the helmet teleportation to go back.
Yeah.
In an instant. And then the next day, we could teleport back to where we were. Like.
Yeah.
That is slightly breaking that campaign, but whatever.
I mean, he gave us the helmet teleportation.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, so.
Also, like, I don't know. What levels? I think teleport's a seventh level.
It's seventh level. Okay, so, unless we get to level.
Like three level, 14,
I won't know it.
Me either.
And I'd only be able to cast it once.
Yeah, but still, if we both took it, we could cast it once there.
Or we can just be like, fuck you, Vogel, you have to have this attuned to you at all times, because we're teleporting back and forth all the time.
But.
That wouldn't be very nice, though.
You know what?
Man has had a character that we thought died and turned evil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then tried
story.
To kill us. Also, it's Vogel.
Also, he is the worst paladin in my life, in the world.
Yeah.
He is.
Pretty much.
Like, he is the greediest,
uh-huh.
most, honestly, probably evil paladin I've ever met, and we're going against a fucking Oathbreaker. Like, I don't understand, like, I don't understand why Eric hasn't taken his powers away yet. Like, some of the things Vogel does to, like, as a I'm a paladin of vengeance. I'm like, that doesn't mean you're, like,
a thief
and, like, trying to, like, you're supposed to be, like, a lawful good character. Like, that's what a paladin is.
Yep. That's why paladins are fucking lame.
Yeah. But paladins can be fun, and, like, you can have those characters that, like, think they're doing, like, he's a paladin of vengeance. I was a paladin for, like, Dordley was a paladin of conquest. So that was more of, like, a paladin that kind of skirts the truths. But, like, a paladin of vengeance, it's like, oh, well, this person does wrong, so I have to stop them. It's not this person does wrong, so I have to kill them.
Yeah.
But he plays it like, oh, I have to kill everything that's evil. He just has to stop it. Like, I don't know. He's a terrible paladin. He is an absolutely terrible paladin.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves being a paladin. Like, I mean, that was always what he did in WoW, too. His main was always a paladin.
Was it?
Yeah. He was bad at it.
I never really... I never really played well with him that much.
I vividly remember being, like, 15 levels lower than him and fucking beating him in a duel.
If you were a DPS class over a tank class, like...
Yeah, but he was a Retribution Paladin.
Oh, so he was rolling... Oh,
so he was the fucking same thing.
Yeah. He was rolling DPS Paladin, and you were still wrecking him.
He was max. He was level 60. I would have been level...
Mid-40s?
45-ish.
Yeah.
And, like, without an issue, beat him.
Yeah. He's not a good gamer. Or at least he's not a good role player.
No.
I mean, hopefully his next character is something more to the standards of what he wants to play at. Like,
yeah.
Like he picked a cleric and a paladin. The two of the characters were supposed to be like non-materialistic and non-like greedy. And
I think you could very far more easily get away with a greedy ass cleric.
Well, yeah, but like,
so my one friend at work, he'd been playing in a D&D group online as a cleric, but of an evil. He's playing an evil cleric.
Okay.
And so the only way he'll heal the other people in the party is if they donate to him in tribute to his god.
Okay.
And like you can, I that works.
That's an absolutely reasonable way to, if it's an evil god.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's an evil god.
I think he's the Tempest cleric.
Okay.
So, and it's whatever, I mean, like, if his weird thunder god guy thing.
If his god were like friggin' Tiamat. Tiamat is the god of greed.
Right.
Like,
you're the god of greed.
I wish I was the god of greed. I really do. But, like, yeah, if his god was, like, Tiamat, the god of greed, then, yeah, like, I'll heal you if you pay me. Like, but if your god is Bahamut, the god of justice, it's, I'm gonna heal you because it's the just thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
Yeah. Yeah. Like, evil cleric works, like, because you could do the charlatan background. Yeah. And you're just a fucking lot, like...
Yeah.
It works. Evil paladin doesn't. No. I mean...
Unless you're an Oathbreaker.
Sure. Yeah, I want to, like, plow through that Tomb of Annihilation, although things seem pretty interesting in that.
Yeah, like, there's...
But, I'm fucking done with these characters, to be honest.
I'm kind of done with the party. It's not the characters of the party, man. Like,
well, sure.
It's the fact that
I'm kind of done with being a sorcerer.
Yeah, like, I'm happy with being...
I guess, it is kind of just that party makeup, really.
Yeah, like, but, I'm happy with being... Like, a bard. I'm having fun with bard, but it's like the party makeup of having three characters that all basically specialize in talking.
Yeah.
It's just like, why are we even getting into combat anymore? Like, we should straight up be sitting there like, whoa, we don't have to do this. Just chill out and talk our way out of every situation. Like, we could be the worst people in the world, but we can talk our way out of everything.
Pretty much. I think, what, the lowest charisma is an 18? What's your charisma?
My charisma is an 18.
I think your Vogel's maybe is a 16.
No, his is a plus 4. His is an 18.
Okay.
We're all 18 charisma. We're all 18s. The highest persuasion is mine at plus 12.
Do you have...
I have expertise in persuasion. So it's a plus 4, plus
4, plus 4,
plus 4. It's plus 4 times 2, plus 4.
Yeah.
And then, like, my... obviously, my, I believe, no, deception is only plus, my deception is a plus 6 because of jack of all trades. Like, we can talk our way out of everything.
Yeah.
If we wanted to. And honestly, the next combat with humanoids, I might try that. She's like, whoa, we don't need this. Chill out.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked so well against the dinosaurs.
No, not against the dinosaurs.
You guys got any more D&D stuff going on?
Not really.
No. We were maybe gonna play this weekend, but not.
Nah, yeah.
Was it, what group was gonna play this weekend?
The one with Eric.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because it's like...
That's a fast turnaround for you guys.
We might not be able to play till November at this point.
Oh.
For a minute there, it looked like everyone was actually going to be free on Saturday, but Vogel is not.
You know,
like, I jokingly went, all right, next weekend, right, guys? And everyone was like, actually,
yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. And then Vogel was like, oh, no, I can't on Saturday. It's like, fuck you, Vogel.
Yeah. He sucks.
That fucking guy. Always ruining everything for everybody else.
The next group we do with Eric, I'm either doing Monk or Fighter.
Yeah, I'm 100%. Probably...
I don't fucking care.
I'm probably going to do Hendrik.
Was that your samurai?
The samurai fighter that I've introduced into this campaign that I'm running with you guys.
Oh, okay.
Because I have ideas of what I want his story to be, and I feel like if I introduce him in Eric's campaign or somebody else's campaign, they might... But I still want to play him as a character mm-hmm. as well. So, like, I thought about having him follow you guys the entire time, but I'm like, no, that's gonna... It's going to be too much for me, and it's not needed.
There doesn't need to be 8 characters yeah. in that party, really.
Yeah, it's going
to
be too
counting
much.
Counting the wolf.
Yeah. You still doing work stuff? You need to vamp a little bit
but
more?
If you guys are done with D&D...
We can kind of go backwards and talk about clerics.
Okay.
That works. I know you can talk a little bit about that. Did you hear about clerics?
No, but I did see Jay and Silent Bob unveiled the AEW Tag Team Championships.
Did they?
Yes.
Man, they're getting out there to promote yeah. shit right now, aren't they?
Apparently.
Which I didn't know this until, like, today or the other day. There is a scene with Ben Affleck in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yeah, that was announced back before Comic-Con.
I didn't realize.
I'm telling you, like, it was announced a while ago.
I didn't know that it was, like... The movie was completed, and they added the scene afterwards because Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck, like, made amends or, like, got back, like...
Yeah, like literally, like, apparently...
reconnected.
Apparently what happened was, so Jason Mewes' wife is, like, a business manager for View Askew, I believe, is how it works out. And between her and Smith's actual wife and some other people, they basically guilted him into reaching out to Ben Affleck. Okay. So I guess they hadn't talked in many years.
Yeah.
And he sent some weird-ass text to him that, like...
Only he would know it was him, like, just in case it was not his number anymore.
I mean, I think he knew the number. I think he had gotten the number from, like, agents or something like that to make sure it was the right person.
Yeah.
But it was basically, like, it was, like, an apology sort of text message. And, like, that got them, like, talking again. And Ben came and filmed a scene for, the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yeah.
And then, in kind of a similar fashion, so Smith and Jeff Anderson, who played Randall in Clerks and Clerks 2, they had some sort of, like, falling out and dispute over, like, what Anderson made off of Clerks 2, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Which wasn't necessarily on Smith, but I guess it caused conflict between them.
Yeah.
And I guess they haven't spoken in, like, a decade.
Wow.
I guess he wasn't...
Fuck, also that movie was that long ago.
Yeah. 2006 is when Clerks 2 came out.
Jeez, damn.
Which I guess he was one of the guys that they didn't get signed on for Clerks 3 originally back in, like, 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
But they... There was some sort of thing they were doing, like, signing stuff for, like, charity or something like that. And it got those two in a room again together, and they basically hugged and made up, and they're going to do a Clerks 3 now with Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran as Dante and Randall.
It's fucking... They're talking to Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes on AEW right now.
Jeez. All right.
The interesting thing is he's rewriting the script.
Yeah, it's a new script. It's not the same one from 6 years ago.
Which, I kind of want to see that script now.
I mean, I always want it to. I really hope this doesn't go the way that the Mallrats 2 reboot went, which was basically, like, it ended up not happening.
Yeah. But yeah, that's cool that, like, I mean, Clerks was, I enjoyed Clerks 1. I saw it way after everybody else, but I enjoyed it. And then Clerks 2, I was like, this is good.
It had a, like, donkey show.
Yeah. If that's your thing and you make fun of me for quote-unquote watching porn at work.
No, like, but it does have one of my favorite scenes ever where Randall makes the two guys vomit over talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, boy, those movies sucked.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's great. Like, honestly, I guess not really hate to say it, but, like, it's great that he's reconnecting with old, like, friends because, like, that's what happens when somebody almost dies. Like, they reconnect. And, you're like, oh, shit, I almost died of a heart attack. Why do I have this feud with Ben Affleck and Jeff, whatever his name was? Let's fix this, because I almost died. Let's be friends again. So it's like, like, it sucks that something in my, like, what it looks like to me, at least, something so terrible had to happen for them to become friends again. But it's great that they're now like, you know what, let's live life to the fullest and make these ridiculous movies that we wanted to make.
And it seems like Smith's heart attack definitely had a place in that. Like, he had a massive heart attack and by all rights probably should have died from it, but didn't.
Yeah.
Had some good doctors, got his shit together. And I think, like, part of that is, like, you know, he wants to make sure that, like, he does sort of, you know, make up with the people that, like, helped make him.
Yeah.
Because, like, really, like, Ben Affleck was in every one of his movies except for Clerks for, like, a decade.
Yeah.
Like, because you figure he was in Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, fucking Jersey Girl, Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, in varying degrees of, like, stardom, too. Like, you figure Chasing Amy was, like, on that, like, Ben Affleck was a rising star at that point.
Yeah.
By Dogma, he was already Armageddon and Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, and like, and he didn't have to do Dogma.
No,
like he could have gotten any other job, but he was like, I'm doing this job with a friend of mine, with my friends, basically. Like, it was great. It's great to hear.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's very, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably about it.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see what they do with Clerks. Like, is it going to be like how Jane, Silent Bob, the reboot is like they're making a reboot of the fake film?
So,
like, I know that's the story of the new movie is like
they're rebooting,
similar to Jane, Silent Bob, Strike Back. Like, they were going to get their money for the original.
Yeah, so Jane, Silent Bob, Strike Back, the movie becomes a cult classic from, like, that movie became a cult classic, like, the movie that's being made in Strikes Back.
Yeah.
That this is now the dark and gritty reboot of it that I believe they want their fucking movie check for again.
Yeah. Which is, like, I love that so much. Like, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to have Carlin play that part, but they're going to have to do, like, all, like, I...
Well, Carlin's only part in that movie was as the hitchhiker that told them that they gotta suck a dick to get a ride.
Yeah, like, I really...
They also can't get Carrie Fisher again.
No, I forgot she was in that.
She was the nun that Jay tried to go down on.
Oh, man, I completely forgot about that. But, like, hopefully they, like, not, like, redo everything, but, like, kind of rekindle those jokes a little bit in some way, because, like, that's basically... Like, the movie is just gonna be the same movie, but different. But barely different. Like...
Yeah.
I love the idea of this, like...
Yeah, and I mean, so Clerks 3 will hopefully pick up, like, a decade later, 12, 13 years later from where Clerks 2 left off, kind of the way Clerks 1 left picked up, you know, 12 years after Clerks, where, like, the convenience store burnt down. A year later, they are working at a movies.
Yeah, which is going to be interesting to see if, like, are they still working at the convenience store? Is the video store still a video store?
No, like, so I think...
I just saw something about that store.
I think in the reboot, that store has become some sort of fast food joint, too. Like, a made-up fast food joint. Cause Kevin Smith posted something on, like, Twitter from, like, his Instagram. And it was something along the lines of, like, I now have two made-up fast food chains in my movie universe that I can't eat at. But... Yeah, like, I'm hoping that this movie picks up where, like, they are working at the convenience store and dealing with just bullshit that, like the first movie, but also the kind of, like, people don't go to, like, corner convenience stores anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we live in an area with Wawa where, like, that happens.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could probably make a play on that, like, not a Wawa, but, like, a Royal Farms Wawa-esque chain that's just, like...
Trying to buy out
that has, like, three of them situated around the Quick Stop, just like Wawa's and Royal Farms are here.
Yeah.
Just driving all of their business away.
Yeah.
Because they bought the place at the end of Clerks 2 and reopened it and all, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for Clerks 2, or Clerks 3.
So the next little quick thing... My Hero Academia had, a poster release for their new movie, which, I don't even remember the name of the movie, Heroes Rising or something like that.
Heroes Rising, and it looks like by the poster, Midoriya and Bakugo are gonna kind of be the focal points. Just, they are front and center with everybody else kind of, like, fanned out behind them.
So, my guess is going to be that it's gonna take place post-Bakugo getting his license.
Yeah, it'll probably take place sometime in the middle of season four.
In the middle, similar to how it did in how the movie did in season three, after he gets his license, because he's one of three students that didn't get their license. Two students from UA,
and then that failed in the final portion.
Yeah, because
it was Todoroki, Bakugo, and then the wind guy from the other school, the one who hated Todoroki.
Yeah. So it might take place after that. The villain's name is Slice. He looks pretty sinister. Like, you didn't really get a good view from him in that poster, but he looks kind of, he looks like an anime villain. Doesn't say much, but it says something at least. And the other thing is they announced that season four will, as far as we know, be completely simul-dubbed with the airing of the series. So every episode should be dubbed on the day of release of each episode.
How uncommon of a practice is that?
Fairly.
It's becoming more common, but it's only happening for big shows.
Yeah, okay.
Usually big shonen shows or shows that, like something like a Funimation is like partnering on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like Fairy Tail is another anime.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very long running shonen anime. The final episode just aired this past weekend. At episode 328.
Damn.
That show is 3 weeks behind, I believe, for the dub. So episode 325 just came out in the dub.
Yeah.
So, like, I won't get to finish that show for 3 weeks or whatever, like, as the dub catches up. But there's other shows, like the show Fruits Basket.
Okay. Fruitus Basket.
No, it's just Fruits Baskets.
I thought it was Fruitus.
No.
Yeah.
That show was an old, like, early 2000s show that they remade it.
Okay.
Like, there was a reboot that I believe follows the manga
I will have to
more
let
closely.
Sarah know.
Yeah, it just came out this year, and it's got the original voice cast, or most of the original voice cast from the English version. That one, I think Funimation was, like, partnered with it, so it was actually, the whole thing was, like, day and date. Simul dub.
Okay.
Like we were even talking about it before we started recording. Last season of My Hero, season 3, at the mid-season point after... I believe it was after United States of Smash?
It was right around that point,
like,
yeah.
Around the midpoint, they took a week break, and then they aired the next episode, but Cobb had to wait an extra 2 weeks on top of that
to see his. Yeah, so the way it ended up working was, like, they went into that show with, like, a set. The first X amount of episodes are going to be simul-dubbed, and then we'll try to keep up after that, but can't make any promises. Because I think it ended up falling in a weird time where, like, there was, like, a Japanese holiday 1 week, and then there was a U.S. holiday the next.
Okay.
So them getting the material and then them being able to complete the dub just didn't line up right. So it was easier to just push it back 2 weeks and have every episode behind 2 weeks than try and, like, force it out and just run into all sorts of issues.
And you were saying that you were in a Facebook group with
somebody
from Funimation?
One of the Facebook groups I'm in, one of the admins is an employee at Funimation who actually posted the news for this in the Facebook group. And when I asked if it was when I asked if there was any word on whether it was going to be the full season or just, like, X amount of episodes like last year, she mentioned that as of right now, they're planning for it to be the whole season from what she was told.
Yeah.
But it all kind of comes down to the Japanese teams and if they get them all of the material in time. Because it apparently takes about 2 weeks to do a dub, at least for a show like that.
Which makes sense. There's a lot of, like, timing and things like that you have to do.
Well,
and...
Yeah, because, I mean, you figure they have to localize the script.
Yeah.
They have to get the voice actors in to do all the dialogue. They have to put the dialogue in, and in some circumstances, they do, like, lip syncing and lip matching, where they might actually go in and, like, edit certain scenes to make the facial stuff match up with the English words.
Yeah.
If they can't translate it in such a way that it just matches up. So... A lot of stuff goes into a dub.
Yeah. Which, fun little fact I found out over the past, like, week or so. The term quirk wasn't in the original manga or the original print in the Shonen Jump magazine. It wasn't until it was adopted here in the United States, and they didn't have an English word for the word they use in Japan, that pretty much overall they adopted the term quirk for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, it was like, quirk wasn't until they brought it to the US, and they were like, well, what is the word for the powers? Oh, quirk. Sure, that works. And then the overarching, like, we're like, even in Japan, like, that's much better than the word we had, which I can't remember what it was.
That is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. That was really cool. That's that lore shit that I like learning about.
I mean, and
although that's not lore, that's production information.
Yeah, that's like behind the scenes.
But that's still like cool shit to learn.
Yeah, I'm excited for the movie and the new season.
Yeah.
We're only, what, like 2 weeks away from the season starting?
October 12th. It's too far away right now.
Fuck.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be in California.
I'm sure Erica likes the show enough to where you guys can stop doing whatever you're doing to watch it when it airs.
Well, I mean, I think it would be available like early morning hour time, like...
I mean, yeah, it's...
So, like, theoretically, like, the problem is, like, we're not going to have anything good to watch it on. Like, I don't want to watch it on my tablet.
Bring your laptop.
I mean, the laptop's not great to watch it on either, but...
Bring your Chromecast.
Also keep... Well, we're going to be in a hotel. That won't work.
No. Like,
hotel Wi-Fi is absolute garbage. Yeah. And a lot of hotels nowadays actually block off USB ports.
Right, yeah. I'm sure you can figure something out. Go down to one of the bars in the hotel.
We'll have to just wait until we get home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's Saturday, isn't it? The 12th? I
believe so.
So, we get home the next day. So, like, when we get home, like,
watch it the next
we'll watch it Sunday evening.
Before you start unpacking, just watch it real quick.
I mean, we're going for 4 days. Like, we don't have to unpack that much.
Yeah.
And honestly, everything's going to be dirty. So, it's really just a dump the dirty clothes into the basket and, like, put the toiletries away.
Yeah.
So, won't be too bad.
Yeah. There's one last little quick e-news. Huntress from the short-lived Birds of Prey show, actress Ashley Scott.
She's going to be in the crossover in Crisis.
As Huntress from the short-lived
Birds of Prey. They're just fucking grabbing everybody.
Yeah.
Can we get this person? Yes? Okay, put him in there. We'll figure it out.
Let's see if I can find it.
We have 900 characters in this thing right now.
Like, there's only a few left that, like, they need to try and get if they can. Like, they need Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher to just have a minor, like, even if it's just, like, a, like, passing glance at them together.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, there's already been a bunch of set photos, too, because they're filming it this week.
This is January this airs?
So, the first two episodes air in December, the second two air in January.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was all January, winter.
Yeah, apparently the future characters are in it, too. So the characters from Arrow, like Oliver's daughter and stuff, are part of the crossover.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I've seen pictures of the girl that plays his daughter, like, with people, like, filming that stuff. But we've gotten to see Brandon Routh as Superman, like, in the Kingdom Come Superman outfit with Tyler Hoechlin, like, both of them standing as Superman, which was kind of cool. There have already been pictures of Tom Wellings and Erica Durant at the Smallville farm.
Yeah.
Which was nice. Because they used that in Supergirl, too. Like,
yeah, they did.
That was the set that they used for the Kent farm, which was a thing. So, yeah, that's gonna be quite the crossover. I do kind of wish that somebody did, like, a fan art where it had... Obviously, they can't have Christopher Reeves, but it was, like, Christopher Reeves out front, and then it was Brandon Routh... Tyler Hoechlin and, Henry Cavill were, like, in the background. And it's, like, it's a shame that, like, there's no way that they can grab some of those other Supermen. Like, they're not going to get Henry Cavill on here. Like, I'm pretty sure he's not working with WB at the moment. They probably wouldn't get, what's his name? Tim Daly, the way that they got Kevin Conroy, because he's just not as, like, synonymous with the name.
Yeah.
But, like, there's still, like, you know, there are other, like, actors that it would be cool if they had just like, little, like, spots.
Apparently, the character Layla Michaels, I believe she is this person that's Diggle's wife, right?
Yeah.
She's going to be Harbinger as well.
Oh.
Which, I don't know who Harbinger is, but...
I recognize, like, the name, but...
From what I'm reading, it's, like, it's a secondary to... The monitor. You need the monitor, yes, but you also need a Harbinger at his side.
Oh, so probably like a Silver Surfer to Galactus.
Yeah. So, like, she's gonna be playing two characters,
or her character becomes the Harbinger.
Gets adopted as
the way Noran Rad became the Silver Surfer.
Yeah. So yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and also the fact that they got somebody from fucking Birds of Prey is absurd.
That is ridiculous. Like, that show lasted for a season. if that.
I think it only did 12 episodes. It might have gotten a full 22.
Yeah, and it was so weird because that was like, that was one where it was like, was it Jessica Alba was in it?
No, you're thinking of Dark Angel.
Okay.
That show lasted for, I think, 3 seasons. That show was actually quite good, though.
Okay.
She was, it was like in the future. And
like, she was the child of Batman and Catwoman, somehow had
Ashley Scott was from another reality where she was Helena Wayne.
Okay.
The daughter of Batman and Catwoman, and she had, like, pseudo-powers. Like, I think it's the same way that certain comic book runs have alluded that Catwoman has powers.
Okay.
But, like, she doesn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything major, but yeah, like, she became the Huntress in that timeline rather than a Robin the way other versions of that character have.
Yeah.
There was an Oracle in that show, and I forget who the other characters were, because it's fucking 20 years old almost.
Yeah.
But it aired around the same time as Smallville. And whereas, like, Smallville went on for 10 years, this show went on for 22 episodes, if that.
Yeah.
It's
nuts that they're getting every...
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking Smash Brothers. Everybody's here.
You know, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Because everyone's going to be gone at the end of this 5-part series.
Yeah. I mean, like
it's going to be so hard to, like, sit there and wait 2 months between the 3rd and 4th episode of the series, the, like, miniseries.
And, like, they have to, like, I'm not the biggest Superman fan, but, like, they absolutely have to have a scene at some point where it's just a whole bunch of fucking Supermen fighting the Anti-Monitor.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't do that, they fucked up. Like, they have 3 people playing Superman right now. Like,
yeah,
don't fuck that thing up.
Yeah, they have to have all the Super...
Well, just because, like, think about that, like, that scene. Like, 3 Supermen fighting, like, a god, basically.
Yeah.
Like, and throw in Supergirl, too. She's Kryptonian.
Yeah, and it's just going to be... There's going to be so much to this. Like, I hope it's not too overwhelming. Like,
oh, it will be.
It definitely will be, but, like... it might warrant, like, multiple watches just to catch everything.
Like, I mean, what you're probably going to want to do is watch it, like... You'll obviously watch the first 2 episodes when they air, but then, like, watch them again in January before the second parts air just to sort of... remind yourself everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think most of those shows start coming back soon. Like,
next week.
Yeah. Batwoman's on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah. They're dropping a Flash trailer tomorrow. So I think they're dropping a bunch of trailers tomorrow and it all starts back up next week.
Yeah. So that's it. I'm glad those shows are coming back.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, they have their ups and downs, but they're generally fun to watch.
Yeah. I can't wait.
And I'm interested to see how Batwoman is.
I'm hoping that's good.
No, I mean, I do too. I don't want it to be bad. I just, like, Ruby Rose, I don't think she's a very good actress.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe she's gotten better in the last few years since she was on Orange is the New Black. It's possible she's had other roles. So, you know, a good director will help an actor become a better actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to at least see what it ends up being.
Me too.
I guess that's probably a show.
Yeah, unless you want to talk more about Yakuza, but I mean,
we're good. Okay.
All right, then, yeah, that seems like a show.
I can talk about that later. It's like a 50-hour game. I'm like 10 hours in.
Yeah. So I don't have anything new to talk about Monster Hunter.
Thank fucking God.
Oh, stop.
We had to watch you play for 30 minutes earlier.
It was 20 tops.
It was like felt like at least 6 hours.
I didn't look at the completion time when I finished the fight. So.
Look, it could have very well been a week.
I think it was like a week and a half, actually.
Like, and you just weren't good at it. Like, you never got good.
I was having a rough time that fight.
Like, all you fucking, kept, you just kept complaining, like, that, like, you, like, it was the game's fault that you were bad.
Anybody listening to this who plays Monster Hunter, email, social@one-quest.com and let Cobb know how much of a fucking bitch Bracadios is. And how much it sucks fighting him.
Or tell us how much you beat that thing in like 5 minutes and it's not even anything and Richie needs to get good.
I mean, I've had good fights against him, but then there's times where it's just like you guys saw, like monster, like the big monsters kept constantly coming.
I saw you not good.
Gladness came in and I had to poop him out of the way. And then
Nurgen
came in and I had to poop him out of the way. And fucking Kestidons kept attacking me.
I don't know, man.
Fucking assholes.
It looks like you're just not good at crowd control.
I mean, you have to poop them to get them away. And sometimes they don't listen to the poop right away.
Anyway, that's going to do it for the episode. If you want to find more stuff like this in the 7 days between releases, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with money, you can also support us over at your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I have to start saying that. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever places you like. Rate us, review us, like us, all that fun stuff. It helps. It really does. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can send us emails like the stuff about Monster Hunter that Richie wants validation on to social@one-quest.com. And that'll do it for this week. We'll be back again next week, maybe a little bit earlier in the week, probably,
yeah,
with something different. So, thanks for listening. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.